Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderman Skaronski.
Here. Please rise. Join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda, I believe Alderman Solomon has asked me to move the citizens' comment period down so that we could take up two very wonderful announcements for the community. And the first announcement is Roy Keynes here tonight? Roy, could you come forward, please?
Shaking his head. Yes, Roy, yes.
Hey, Roy, am I back now?
Roy is one of our absolute superstars, one of the guys that make sure that everything gets taken care of. When you turn on your water, the reason that it works is because of Roy. And the other part we won't mention, but he also takes care of the other more undesirable. Roy has been around for some time. He does such a great job that we, the council, really rarely have to bring him in to ask any questions because it's such a fantastic job that he performs. And we all know that Roy does this job, but apparently so does the rest of the world. And with that, I wanted to recognize Roy for his outstanding achievement and to read you a notice. And that is... City of Franklin Water Utility Operator receives state award. Clover, Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Rural Water Association recently held its annual technical conference in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where nearly 1,200 water system and industry personnel met for 4 days, exchanging ideas and technology through technical sessions and exhibits. At the conference, Roy Keynes of the City of Franklin Water Utility received the association's prestigious 2012 Lifetime Achievement Award. This award is presented each year to individuals that have demonstrated a lifetime of excellence in the field of waterworks operations. Quote, the role of operators has become increasingly difficult as state and federal agencies have imposed tougher standards for water utilities, said Ken M. Bloomberg, executive director of WRWA. Quote, Roy has been recognized by his peers as deserving the WRWA's highest award for his many years of dedication and service. On behalf of the 35,504 individuals that reside within the city of Franklin, it is my great pleasure to congratulate Roy on this outstanding achievement. And some young ladies and people you'd like to introduce?
I do. I have Coach Ron Booth and Coach Don Zavalia and his class of 2016 Lady Crusaders. Or Lady Sabres. You want them to come up here?
Yeah, if you could all
Lady Sabres.
Come up.
You must be
on behalf of the again, the 35,500 people of Franklin. I have a proclamation to read to you young ladies because we're really, really proud of you. And it says, whereas the Franklin Youth Girls Basketball Association was created to develop the physical, emotional, and mental needs of Franklin girls through the participation of the game of basketball, my old sport. Whereas fundamental skills development, teamwork, and playing in a competitive environment that fosters sportsmanship are all key concepts that are stressed by the Franklin Youth Girls Basketball Association. And whereas the Franklin Youth 8th grade girls basketball team was invited to participate in the 2012 Wisconsin State Invitational Tournament at Stevens Point, where invitations are based on recommendations from peer coaches, league organizers, tournament directors, and high school varsity coaches from all across the state of Wisconsin. And whereas 2012 was the team's fourth appearance at the Wisconsin State Invitational Tournament, where in their first year, as fifth graders, they placed fifth. As sixth graders, they placed fourth. As seventh graders, they placed third. And whereas on April 1st, 2012, the Franklin Youth 8th grade girls basketball team was crowned the Division I 2012 Wisconsin State Invitational Tournament champs by defeating three-time state champions Oshkosh West with a final score of 30-29. Now, therefore, I, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin, do hereby wish to acknowledge and congratulate the Franklin Youth 8th grade girls basketball team for their accomplishment of becoming the 2012 Wisconsin State Division I champions, whose team members include Jenna Carr, Courtney Fernandez, Katie Gardner, Carly Graverson, Riley Keene, Brittany Lincoln, Sarah Newman, Eva Okla. That's okay. Abby Schauer, Katie Zaczewski, and who are coached by Ron Kluth and Mr. Don Sebelia. With that, I would ask that all residents of Franklin join in me in congratulating these fine young ladies.
We try to service girls between third and eighth grade. We have 93 girls that participate, 21 coaches, and we have a board of nine. So the girls did a great job representing our community. We're very proud of you.
As coach, I have to talk just a little bit. I was brought on board for the eighth grade girls to prepare them for high school through Tony Catherine and Ron Duquette. And we forgot to mention Jill, who was also assistant coach, too. We had our ups and downs. We played in a lot of games. We played at the toughest teams. And when we came to the final end at the state tournament, we won 7 in a row. Great, great time. And I'll thank the parents. That last game, the parents were just outstanding. They put a chill through your bones. You wanted to be out there on the court, and they responded. They beat this team. Won the state title 3 years in a row, and these girls beat them. So, nice round of applause. One last thing, Mr. Taylor has been a great supporter for us, for the girls' basketball. I want to thank you.
We do have one last announcement before I turn back to the citizens' comment period. That's a notice of opportunity to request the public hearing on the Wisconsin 241 corridor expansion study. I just bring it to your attention so that the people of Franklin are aware of it. With that, I'm going to turn back to the regular order of business, and that is the citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to come forward to speak during the citizens' comment period? Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Any citizens wishing to speak? If not, I'm going to turn to item C, approval of a regular meeting of April 17th, 2012. Is there any questions? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Question on
the items. Okay, let me see if there's a second first. There's, okay, under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, it's G2 and G3 of the minutes, and G2 was just a point of clarification. I did listen to the tape, but I guess I was unaware that it was actually an official appointment. The way I took it was, if we don't have any objections, you would like to appoint these people, but since you mentioned someone's name who wasn't present, and my motion followed up after that, I was just expecting that you would notify Mr. Knipple, and then it would come back. And so the minutes reflect that it's already actually in place. And had I known, I was going to be appointed to yet another committee before I had been released from any other committee. I might have said something at that time.
So no, I think you're correct. I don't think I said that. I asked if individuals would be willing to do so, but I don't think there was any action on whether I could or could not appoint. In fact, I think a little bit later on, I think you made a motion that may or may not have been approved.
It was approved for the city attorney and director of ministry to review the current work ordinance already in place.
And did that have something to do with the terms of office and the appointment process?
Yes.
So that's where that's my feeling. In other words, I think you're correct. I don't believe that I did appoint them. I said that would be my feeling, and I asked some people if I think I turned to Alderman Schmidt, and I may have turned to you, and I think I may have asked Marge Shore if she would be willing to serve, but didn't actually appoint.
Maybe instead of that it was actually an appointment, maybe it should say Mayor Taylor discussed this. Or
I would agree with you.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to consider that. And then on G3, rather than the no action required by the city attorney, I thought it might be appropriate to have the city attorney's determination on it so there wouldn't be any further questioning of that in the future about the serving on the two different appointed or elected positions by the council president and county supervisor. So instead of no action required, it would read the city attorney up in that, and whatever he is.
I guess I'm just not clear as to what you would like to see.
G3.
Yeah.
There was the item was to have the city attorney determine on if there was a conflict of interest for the alderman and the supervisor position, and it says no action was required. Well, while it wasn't required, there was an opinion given to us, and I thought it would be most appropriate to have that opinion reflected in here so that if it came up again, we could refer back and say here.
Again, I would agree with you.
So the maker of the motion.
I think if you want to say that.
With those corrections.
Yeah, with those corrections, I think that
yes.
would be fine. Alderman Olson, I know, you're wearing that shirt with that.
Don't blame it on the shirt. Yeah. It's old age. Mr. Mayor, I wasn't here at the meeting, we all know that, but I consider minutes an administrative matter. I'll pull that.
Any further discussions? There's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded with the recommended change. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, changes. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. I said aye. Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Next is item D, hearing special assessment for installing sanitary sewer on West Ryan Road from South 112th Street to West City Limits. Mr. Bennett? Madam Clerk, do you have a notice to read?
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin has declared its intention to exercise its police powers under Section 66.0701 Wisconsin Statutes and Section 207-15 Franklin Municipal Code to levy special assessments for sanitary sewer installation improvements in the following locations: West Ryan Road from South 112th Street to the West City Limits. A report showing proposed plans and proposed assessments and other data is on file in the City Clerk's office at Franklin City Hall. Notice is hereby given that such a report is open for review and inspection from Monday through Friday and will be so continued for a period of 10 days after the date of publication of this notice. Notice is also hereby further given that on Tuesday, May 1st, 2012 at 6:30 p.m., Common Council will be in session in their chambers at Franklin City Hall to to hear all persons interested, their agents or attorneys, concerning the matter contained in the preliminary resolution and report, including proposed assessments. If you have any questions, contact City Engineer John Bennett by order of the Common Council of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, the second day of April 2012.
Okay. Mr. Bennett, do you have a presentation for us?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. First, I'd like to introduce Ron Romeis. Ron is our assistant engineer and was very instrumental in this project. And also Joe Everly. Joe, do you want to stand? Joe's from Rickard Mielke, and they were the design engineers on the job. Both Ron and Joe will be available after the public hearing in the hearing room. We have a set of plans. Anybody that would like to go over kind of in detail of the project and more technical questions, you should have your comments that you want the council to hear after the public hearing. But if you want a little bit more detail on the project, they'll be available. And, of course, we're always available during the week if anybody has any questions. I'm going to try to explain the policy. First of all, up on the board are the plans for the Ryan Creek Interceptor. This thing work. I don't know if it'll shoot way over there. But the plans are up on the board, and it basically starts at 112th Street and then goes west over to the county line. This really, in essence, doesn't have anything to do with the Ryan Creek Interceptor, except the Ryan Creek Interceptor has made it possible to extend the local sewers because we're actually entering into the manholes that are placed for the Ryan Creek Interceptor. But this is a completely separate project. Wouldn't have had to be done at this time. And with the PowerPoint, I'll kind of show how this happened. So, Ron, do you want to cut the lights? Again, this is from 112th Street, the county line. The city received a petition with 18 signatures. This was circulated by a person that resides on Ryan Road. The end result that the Common Council authorized the staff to survey the property owners, and with that, basically give them an indication of what the cost would be for the sewer project. We had 10 favor and 10 against, and then breaking the project down to the area west of 112th Street, we had basically 10 in favor and 3 against. And the survey is such, so we ended up. The people on the east of 112th Street unanimously did not want the sewer extended. So then the city council decided we'd just limit the extension from 112th Street west of the county line. The heavy lines show a parcel that's owned, a number of parcels owned by the same people. We have had a policy in the city that we only give one property owner a vote no matter how many parcels they own. So that ended up coming into 10 to 3 as far as the votes are concerned. One of the reasons that we were looking at and it was requested at this time to put in the sanitary sewer, that it's felt that we could save funds and reduce costs by doing this at the same time the whole area is dug up. And for anybody that lives out in that area, they know it's really, really dug up. And the big savings come in the restoration, that we wouldn't have to repay the road twice, once for the Ryan Creek Interceptor and once for the local sewer. Common Council authorized what we call the preliminary resolution for special assessment. Get into the cost of the project. The original cost, assessable cost, and that was what was first prepared in the assessment role using the maximum assessment rate, which it actually exceeded and would have had to be subsidized, was 763 plus 1,000, lateral 64 plus 1,000, with a total project cost of over 800,000. The revised cost after receiving the bids was 416,000 plus for the assessable construction cost, and laterals were a little higher, of 71,000. So the total project cost dropped from 827,000, which was estimated, down to 487,000 plus. The city has a maximum rate for special assessments, and for residential, it's $81.25 per front foot, lineal foot. And the revised assessment cost now, with the good bids, is $66.31 per foot. One reason we can go out a little bit further, the decimal point is, we don't, the figures don't balance, so that's one reason we go out so far. The laterals were a little bit more expensive than we anticipated, except for the 12-inch lateral, which was considerably less. We only have one 12-inch lateral. We're not sure that we're going to have an 8-inch lateral. We put an 8-inch lateral on one parcel just to have a price for it. So if one of the property owners want to extend sewer back into the their property, an 8-inch lateral is basically the minimum, actually, sewer size. You can have a lateral down to 4 inches, but you can't have a sewer less than 6 inches. What are the benefits? And while we do police power, we do talk about the benefits too. Assured treatment of the wastewater. Elimination of the need for the maintenance and repair of individual on-site septic systems. And with the type of soils that we have in Franklin, this can become a problem. And the elimination of the potential for contamination of groundwater serving private well supplies by pathogenic or disease-causing microorganisms present in the wastewater. In other words, wastewater getting into the wells. The elimination of the potential for odors due to the wastewater from on-site septic systems seeping out of the groundwater during periods of high groundwater. And lastly but not least is the developability of vacant or undeveloped or partially developed properties which are deferred from development by lack of municipal sanitary sewer system, causing a negative impact on the fair market value. And basically, some of this area has attempted to develop, and we're not able to because of the soils. This was the original example of a typical lot, and the typical lot in this area is 150 feet. If there is such thing as a typical lot, but I think there's four or five lots that are actually 150 foot frontage. So that comes with lateral and with an impact connection fee. I want to comment on this a little bit later, but this came up to $18,341. And with the good costs of we received, bids we received, the total would be $15,531.36. We have included an estimated connection impact fee. This has not been established yet for the Rhine Creek Interceptor, but the council has reviewed it. They've hired a consultant to recommend a fee. And this pays for basically the oversized and non-accessible costs, and it's uniform throughout the whole project. And they've looked at all the future sewer extensions in the area, and the amount above and beyond what can be assessed is picked up by that impact connection fee. And the council will be considering that in the near future. Construction-wise, sanitary sewer is going to be installed in the ditch line north of the center of the roadway. The electric posts are going to be moved further in towards the lot line. Whether we install it 8 feet away from the Rhine Creek Interceptor or in the ditch line, the backhoe is too close to safely work with those electric lines. And we've worked with the electric company even talked with them about the possibility of maybe deadening the line during construction, but they couldn't do that, so they really had to be moved for this construction. The laterals will be extended 33 feet north and south of the center line. We average the cost of lateral, so it does not affect which side of the street you're on. You have the same cost of lateral, even though in this case the lateral is on the north side of the street. The people on the north side pay the same amount as the people on the south side of the street for laterals. And Ryan Road will be resurfaced as part of the Ryan Creek Interceptor, so this project will not have those costs. This is a typical cross-section view of the sewer. In this case, the sewer is right in the ditch line. This exhibit shows it closer to the road, but then would be extended and generally comes under the foundation up through the floor of the house. This way you can have laundry in the basement. You could remodel and actually have a bathroom down in the basement. It also takes the floor drain. So this is the general way of installing the laterals. The portion that the city would be installing is to the 33-foot lot line. The lot line does vary in this area, and that's why we picked the standard 33 feet, because that's originally Ryan Road was a four-rod road, and a half of that is 33 feet. Location of the lateral, we do show a location of the lateral on the plans, but that's just basically to tell that that parcel receives one lateral. We will work with the property owner. We will send them a sheet like this and ask them where they want their lateral in relationship to the house. They can have it on either side of the house and come around from the back, because generally a lot of the septic systems will be going out of the back of the house. Generally, we don't recommend that because you're going to have at least two bends, and every time you have a bend for wastewater, it's always a problem. So it's best if you can come straight in, go through the basement floor, and hook in straight. But again, we've sized the depth of the sewer such that it will work coming in from the back of the house. Each lot will receive one lateral. Extra laterals are available at the stated lateral cost, so if you want to plan for a future division of a lot, you can have literally as many laterals as you want. It's probably cheaper to put the laterals. One reason we put the laterals in now is every time somebody hooks up the sewer, we really don't want them digging up the road and have to patch the road. This way the road is destroyed once, rebuilt, and we won't be into it again. And by the way, if water would go in, and there is no plans for water at this area, we would presume water would go down the south ditch line, and it's very easy to directional bore water because it doesn't have to hold grade. It can go up and down. So the water laterals could be directional bored underneath. There is no water available at this time. The closest water is on Loomis Road at that vet clinic. That's where it stops. So I don't know when it'll be down here. Assessment policy. And the city attorney always wants me to kind of go over this a little bit. There are a lot of different ways that one could assess for sanitary sewer. Probably the 90% of the communities do a front foot assessment. In other words, with the theory that that's relationship to what it costs. So the wider the lot, the more it costs to put the sewer in because you have a longer sewer across that lot. But there are other methods, and there's a home site method. That wouldn't work very good in this case because you got a lot of vacant land, and then you'd have to guess and estimate how many lots, and you can get some big arguments. Oh, you're going to have 20 lots or 15 lots. So that doesn't work very well. And then when you start having commercial along with residential, really I think the only practical method is the front foot assessment. But we always do take a look and review other methods for special assessments. We have a special assessment ordinance. We just follow the ordinance. We don't make a lot of judgments. Part of our special assessment ordinance is a maximum assessment. Because sometimes, just because of certain conditions, sewers can get terribly expensive. And so we have a max on what we charge residential, and that's $81.25 this year. And it's set by ordinance. It goes up with the consumer price index each year. And for commercial, it's $105.50 a foot. When that's just the maximum assessment. We actually only charge the actual assessment if it's under that. Corner lots, for residential, we use the short side only. For corner lots, for commercial, or lots that can be subdivided in the future, we have a 150-foot credit on the long side that they don't have to pay for, and then they have to pay for the remaining balance of that. And we have a minimum assessment of 100 feet. That doesn't really come into play in this project. Odd-shaped lots. Sometimes you have lots that are odd-shaped, and if the width of the front and back are different by more than 25%, we use the average of the two. We have two parcels that are triangular parcels, so they actually end up getting one-half the cost of the frontage because the back is zero. And that's part of the ordinance. I mentioned a little bit about the impact fee or connection fee, and that's an ordinance that's being considered for the Rhine Creek area, and that is estimated to be $2,900, but that yet has to be determined by the Common Council. Payment. After the sewer is completed, you will get a bill. We estimate the bills will probably go out sometime around October. You have 30 days to pay the bill. If you pay the bill within 30 days, there's no interest charge. The default on that is if you don't pay the bill, it automatically reverts to 12 annual payments on your tax bill. So the city then would finance the project for you. You don't have to request this. You get this automatically. At any point in time, you can come in and pay off the balance. You can work with the treasurer's office just about on anything you want to do. But it would be figured like a home loan. It would be the same amount each year, but it would be on the declining balance. If the project is approved, it can be started within the next few weeks. We hope to complete by October 1st. Might point out that anybody that would qualify for low to moderate income, and sometimes retired people can end up qualifying for that. Milwaukee County has a home improvement program where, depending on your income level, you can get a loan from the county for low interest, and if your income level is such, you can actually get a 0% loan for the sanitary sewer. So if anybody feels that they might qualify, they can call the county. It's a home loan division of the county. Or if they prefer to call me, I can get you in touch with the right people. Connection to the sanitary sewer is required within 1 year after completion. And the operating charge is $51.30 per quarter. You'd get a quarterly sewer bill, and that comes out to be $17.10 a month. I don't expect everybody to really be able to read this, but this is the assessment report and shows the properties being assessed. And, Mr. Mayor, I think with that, it's pretty much the end of our presentation. I just want to mention one thing, though. All the properties are receiving sewer except for the Irish Cottage. We have a 12-inch sewer that's going to end up coming off in front of the Irish Cottage and going southwest on Loomis Road. And that sewer is not going in at this time. We did put a stub in. If Irish Cottage wants to connect, we'd have to work out some kind of connection agreement with them. But at this point in time, we are not providing a sewer for in front of the Irish Cottage or stops prior to that.
Okay.
And we're here to answer any questions. And again, after the meeting, I would suggest you get your comments to the council because they're the ones that are making the policy decision. If you have any technical questions, Mr. Romeis and Mr. Everly will be available in the room next door, and we'll go over plans and answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Just one clarification because there was some confusion as to the survey and how the petitions came forward. The gentleman from your neighborhood basically came to me and asked if it would be possible to do a petition, not that the person or the parties were in favor of the Ryan Creek Interceptor, but because it had to do with, well, if it's going to be there, might as well take advantage of it versus tearing it up. So I just wanted to clarify that. And Alderman Wilhelm?
Mr. Bennett, would you go back to the previous slide? Because you went through that really, really quick. No, the sheet where it shows all the lots, the spreadsheet of the last.
Oh.
There. How many total are there on that?
I don't know. I didn't count them.
See, the numbers on this just aren't adding up to me. You know, in our council packet, we had figures like 10 in favor, 14 against, all these different. It was 10, 14 in favor and 10 against or something. And then this one, there's, how many did you just say lots there were?
I'm going to show you. When we count votes, and this has been a policy in the council.
Let me just finish, because the... First of all, the figures don't match up with the last council packet, and I just took that packet out of my thing tonight. I was going to bring it with me, and I would have had those figures here, but the figures you gave us tonight don't go with the figures that were in the council packet when this was voted on for how many. And then when I asked you before if those people that had multiple lots got more than one vote, you said yes. Tonight you said that's not the case.
No.
So I'm totally confused to me that the numbers just don't add up, and my concern is not for the people that want it. My concern is for the people that are going to have to pay for it that didn't want it. And I want to make sure that we've all got the right count and vote for those people. Because it's only fair to them to have that if they're going to be paying $16,531 over a series of years, which is quite a chunk for some people if they can't afford it. Okay, I'm finished with it.
Mr. Bennett, just so I understand what we have. What the presentation and what the clerk read was to allow people, any parties, to have to speak on this issue. This is a public hearing. As far as I know, there's been no decisions made, and the council can elect to move forward or not move forward on these proposals. Could elect to move forward tonight, or it could elect to move forward later, or may elect not to move forward at all. So, in essence, that's why we're holding the public hearing, to hear from the public. So with that, I'm going to open up this item for public hearing. And are there any parties wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir. And if you could, please come forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Eugene Majerik. I live on Ryan Road at 112th. I'm for it. As we remember back, our lead alderman, Dave Meyer, lived across the street. And when he went to sell his house, he had to put a mound system in, even though we had no problems. I have no problem with my septic system, but there's only two of us living in a house. When I come to sell it, my four-bedroom home, I'll have to put a mound system in. And with the road being tore up now, and the money we can save during the economy problems we have now, it's time to do it. I mean, it's... And with if you look in the neighborhood, all the other houses that got mound systems and the type of soil we got, it should be done. There's no reason why. That's what I got to say.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir. If you could please come forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Frank Janischewski. I'm on 12301 West Ryan Road, so I'm on the end of the line. My question is on the rate, because I'm actually zoned multifamily. I couldn't change it at the time I built because it was under a moratorium at the time. So my question is, am I going to be assessed at the single house or the commercial rate?
Mr. Bennett, do you want to take that?
I'll take that.
Okay.
The commercial rate only comes into effect on the maximum assessment. So since it didn't hit maximum, you pay the same rate as a single family. So it's $66, and so that's for everybody. If it would have come in at, let's say, $100 a foot, then the city would have subsidized the residential to $81.25, and would have subsidized the commercial if it would have been over $105. But since it's $66, we charge you what it costs.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, sir. We are working on the cable.
My name is Tom Benning. I live at 11720 West Ryan Road. I just wanted some clarification on if it's going to be done by October, and then you have 1 year to hook up to it. You obviously can't hook up to it and use it until that whole big interceptor is done, right? So does the year start and start paying for it before you can use it, or do you pay for it after the whole line creek thing is done?
Starts the time you can start using it.
Is the Rye Creek Interceptor, my understanding, is going to be quite a while yet?
I think we're ahead of schedule. We're kind of hoping that this all comes together about the same time.
Okay. Do you want to put the cable piece in there for the record?
Any progress?
Put it on the record. And so I could use the help. So.
Well, have you gotten any more?
Well, we're trying to get a couple meetings with some state representatives coming up again. So.
We'll point something.
Alderman beats me up all the time over it. So. All right, anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And this item, I'll ask the Alderman if there's anything on this right now. This is coming up in your packet a little bit later on where you can weigh in and on the subject. And again, I don't believe that any aldermen are compelled to vote on this tonight or vote in favor or against. It's pretty typical of all the different projects that we've had before us in the past. Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, I think with the consensus of the homeowners in the area, they would probably like to have a decision tonight regarding this, and rather wait and put it off so they know where they're at and what's going to happen. Is it in order to make a motion to approve this?
If you'd like to move to the appropriate resolution right now.
Yes, I would.
It would be item 3, final resolution directing installation of payment, levy a special assessment for installation of sanitary sewer in West Ryan Road from South 112th Street to West City Limits. Just before you make the motion, Alderman, as city attorney, is there a motion in the packet that recommended vote? Let me see. Would that be a motion to adopt a resolution directing the installation of payment and levy of special assessment for installation of sanitary sewer in West Ryan Road from South 112th Street to the West City Limits?
Yes.
And is there a second?
My motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I guess I wasn't prepared for that because I had some other questions, but can I ask those questions before we take a vote on this?
Yes, it's we're under discussion.
I guess I want to know about the difference. Who was getting the 18,000 or the 18-inch laterals, and what was the purpose of the larger laterals? Because you only have like one of them.
All the laterals are 8-inch, except the laterals on the west side, northwest side, and that's it. We have a 12-inch lateral. Basically, at their request, we have some problems with graves. Be able to service way back, and we can go with a flatter grade on a 12-inch lateral than we can on an 8-inch lateral. Although, very frank with you, everybody will have their choice of laterals, and we will, if they want, they can have an 8-inch. I don't think in most cases they'd rather.
Could you use your mic,
Mr. Bennett? Yeah, most people will have a 6-inch lateral, but we have a bid on an 8-inch lateral. If they want an 8-inch lateral, they can have an 8-inch lateral. I don't think anybody else except that one property owner would want a 12-inch lateral because they don't have one. Great. This is a long, half-mile-deep property, and to get to the very far back, in fact, back of that is a conservancy area, so we don't need to serve back of that, and it's pretty flat, so a 12-inch lateral will give them a flatter grade. In most cases, everything else will be a 6-inch lateral. We don't have anybody that's requested an 8-inch lateral, but we wanted to get a bid on an 8-inch lateral, so if somebody wants one, we have a bid on it. So really, everybody can get whatever lateral they want.
So the price is set in here aren't necessarily what you're actually purchasing, because it doesn't say that. It just gives price quotes for, you know, one at this price, six of them at this one. I don't.
In the assessment roll, they're allotted to each parcel. In the spreadsheet in the back, you'll see the rate for each lateral. But we can, we have them sign a paper if they want to change it from what's in there, because if they want an 8-inch, it's more expensive, and they can sign a waiver and go to an 8-inch. If not, they can have a 6-inch. If anybody doesn't want to have a lateral and has a vacant lot, they don't have to have a lateral. We encourage them to, because if they build on it, we prefer them not to have to dig up the road to connect. And it costs more because we require a slurry backfill. And we tell this to all the people as we will be talking to every individual homeowner on where they want the lateral and what kind of lateral they want. And if they want more than one, they can have it.
I was smiling because you know how thrilled I get when you start talking about
sewers. Oh, I love to talk about sewers. You know that.
It's wonderful.
it's my bread and butter.
Yeah. Mr. City Attorney.
Well, this is the short version. And I did receive a letter from a property owner raising a question as to connection requirements for relatively newly installed complete private on-site waste treatment systems. In other words, I just put in a new mound system. If I have to hook up, the argument is that you pay twice. And the reason I think it's appropriate to put it on the record at this point in time, because that was about a month ago, and as most of the council members are aware, Board of Water Commissioners was participating in a contested rate hearing that finally concluded hearing-wise in Madison on Thursday with a number of pre-filed testimony, deadline submission dates, and the actual file probably grew literally almost 2 feet in the last 6 weeks. So for the last 7 weeks through Friday, I had one day off, which was Easter Sunday, and it was all pretty much manic. So I never got back to contact this property owner with the requested information. Easy answer would have been to pick up the phone and say, no, existing draft policy that's been created by the Franklin Engineering Department and the Engineering Consult for cost recovery purposes in this area does not contain an exception for connection to required connection to new sanitary sewer extended for relatively new septic systems. Instead of that, actually took a look at it, conferred with the Engineering Department, was immediately reminded that history of the city of Franklin, every existing sewer did not have extension, meaning all of the existing sewer in the city did not have that. Also talked to the consultant, took a look at the law, did find one such credit, if you will, but it doesn't apply to cities, villages per se. It's only where you're in a rural area, obviously. It's a town where new septic is installed prior to existence of a sanitary sewer utility serving that town area. So I was going to communicate that, pretty much wasn't able to because of the time constraints, started to creep up on the backlog yesterday, left a phone message, another one today, didn't hear back, but the referral will be to the alderman for the district, and the whole point of that is if you adopt a final resolution for the installation of the sewer and directing levy of a special assessment. Historical practice has been that if the council determines there's an appropriate deferral to be provided by code, that may occur later, and that's not a retroactive act because it's a benefit versus some form of added obligation. So I thought it was appropriate under the circumstances.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
Aye.
Alderman Solomon?
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm?
No.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Scrantz?
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Olson and Alderman Wilhelm.
Follow on motion, Mr. Mayor, just to clarify something that Mr. Bennett said, put it on record. Motion to codify the fact that payment and interest charges will not start until the Ryan Creek intersection is functional.
That's the motion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a, would be appropriate to go to item F2?
No, Mayor, I had another follow-up.
Okay, Alderman Wilhelm.
The reason why I couldn't support it is because I never got my questions fully answered on the count. And so I'm going to try to put a follow-up motion on that so I can feel comfortable about any further votes on this. I would make a motion for staff to provide, or staff to verify the data and provide to the council at the next meeting a breakdown of the votes as they relate to the survey for the number of current homes served, meaning occupied homes, the number of vacant lands and realty type lots of parcels, noting each counted as a separate vote, and the number of no responses in order to determine the accurate reflection of the homeowner's requests versus those serving the vacant lands.
Is there a second to that motion? Seeing none, the motion fails. Is it appropriate to move to item F2, City Attorney?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion to adopt a resolution awarding a contract to the low bidder Globe Contractors, Inc. for the extension of sanitary sewer with laterals West Ryan Road from South 112th Street to the West City Limits, the amount of $408,460 for the mandatory alternate bid?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman, Alderman Olson.
Was that Friday?
Missed the class.
Missed the class. Or it's the shirt, right? Question, Mr. Mayor, for the city engineer. I'm slightly confused here. The $408,000 mandatory alternate puts the sewer in the ditch 8 feet off of the center, right? Or 8 feet off the pavement.
It's in the ditch.
It's in the ditch. So there is, as you brought up, a possibility that there will be manholes in the middle of people's yards or driveways, right?
We are going to basically put like a driveway and a culvert so that it will be even with the road.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And we didn't feel that the $45,000 difference was worth the maintenance issues that the homeowners are going to have and the aesthetics. Well, they got to, now they got to cut around a something that jets into the ditch. I don't know. It doesn't thrill me. I would have preferred to see it in the road. Nobody here spoke to that. So,
Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Wilhelm.
No, I guess I would have the same question that Alderman Olson brought up. First of all, with the not to be assessed until the entire system is working and functional, and then as you connect to it. And as far as the manhole covers, as he's referring to, I think most of the homeowners can understand if that's going to be near your property, it's not going to be that much of an inconvenience to cut the grass around it or anything else, but it will be there in order to clean out, sir. So, thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I just want staff to know, Mayor, that I would still like an answer to that, so I'll provide my notes to the clerk so the minute my motion can get reflected in the minute, so you'll know what I was asking for, because I still need to be comfortable if I'm going to continue to make votes on this, on where those apply. There was just conflicting figures, and it does not sit well with me, and I can't vote on things when things don't sit completely comfortable in a little spot for me, so I'm not going to support it until I get the information.
Okay, on item one, 2011 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report of the City of Franklin and Required Communications Letter from Clifton Larson, LLP. Mr. Patterson, you have some visitors tonight that hopefully you would introduce to us and then take us through the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report.
Yes, Mayor, we have with us tonight from Clifton Larson Allen, Renee Messing, who's the partner on our engagement.
Excuse me, just one second.
Did we vote on two?
I believe we, Madam Clerk?
No, we didn't.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I thought we did. All right, on item one, F1.
Okay. The representatives were named Essen and Jake Linnell from Clifton Larson Allen, who is our auditor for the 2011 fiscal year. They will make a presentation and answer any questions on the comprehensive annual financial report that has been provided to each of you.
Great. Well, welcome. And yes, if you could please introduce yourself, please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. My name is Renee Messing. I'm a partner with Clifton Larson Allen. And with me this evening is Jake Linnell, and Jake is a senior manager with the firm. And Jake works directly with our staff and your staff to coordinate the audit process. In your materials, I believe that you have a summary handout that really represents the highlights of the financial statements. And I'll make a few comments from there, but I'm certainly happy to answer any detailed questions that you may have. Before I do that, though, I just wanted to mention that you may have noticed that our firm name is different than what it was before. We were previously known as Clifton Gunderson. On January 2nd of this year, we merged with a firm called Larson Allen to form the firm Clifton Larson Allen. We are the eighth largest firm in the country, and we specialize in serving governments and nonprofit organizations as well as all other types of business organizations. So with that, on the second page of the handout is just a summary of the components of the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And that report includes a transmittal letter, the auditor's report, management discussion and analysis, the financial statements and footnotes, and some supplementary information. Of those components, the auditor's report is the only part of that report that represents ours as your auditors. The rest of that information is the representation of management. That auditor's report is very important. It's what citizens and bondholders look for when they look to the audit opinion. Your opinion says that your financial statements are presented fairly in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. That's commonly referred to as a clean audit opinion, and that's, of course, what you hope to have when you receive that audit opinion. On the next page of the handout is a summary of the governmental funds of the city. And there in the first column, you'll see the operations of the general fund. And the general fund for 2011 had approximately $25 million of revenues compared to $24 million of expenses. So revenues greater than expenses of $644,000, giving you ending fund balance of $6.1 million. You'll see below that is a summary of the components of fund balance, and the Governmental Accounting Standards Board implemented a new standard, statement number 54, that the city adopted in 2011 that changes the definition of the components of that fund balance. For your general fund, you have unassigned fund balance of approximately $6 million, and that represents about 24% of your 2012 operating expenses, and that's in line with the type of policy that you've adopted relative to that fund balance. The next column is your debt service fund. Your debt service fund had revenues greater than expenses of just over $1 million and has fund balance of about $4.1 million. That debt service fund balance, of course, is there to pay your long-term debt. A portion of that fund balance has been loaned to the tax increment district and will become available as the TIF district repays that fund that advance. The next column is your tax increment district funds. There, your revenues were $7.2 million compared to expenditures of the funds of $8.8 million, or a reduction in fund balance of $1.5 million to a fund balance at the end of the year of $4.4 million. The TIF district fund balance has a number of components. Part of that is $7.5 million that is classified as non-spendable. That represents a loan receivable within the tax increment district, and as that loan is collected, it will become available funds to pay the advance, the internal advance to from the debt service fund. You'll note there that the unassigned balance in that TIF district is a deficit balance of $3.6 million. That is an accounting presentation to indicate that you do have that internal borrowing of $3.7 million. You have a number of non-major funds, and those non-major funds are aggregated in that fourth column. You can see that it's about $5 million of revenues and expenses. The components of those funds, the most significant ones are your library operations, your donation and grant funds, your development fund, your equipment replacement fund, and your capital improvement funds. You can see those funds in total are $7.7 million. The library is about $500,000 of that balance, while the development fund represents more than half of the balance at $3.9 million. You can also see that all of those funds are either restricted or assigned, and that means that they have a purpose attached to them that they really are not available for general spending because they have certain restrictions on the funds. The next page gives you a crosswalk to a second method of reporting the city's available funds, and that is to report your financial statements on the same basis that a business would report. So your total fund balance of $22 million is increased by capital assets and certain other receivables and related revenue that represent special assessments, and it's decreased by long-term obligations. So you can see that on that business-type reporting, your net assets for the government are $108 million. The next page gives you a summary of your water and sewer funds. You can see that the water utility was nearly a break-even operation during 2011 with $5,224,000 of revenues and expenses. And the net assets of the water utility include $45.3 million of capital assets and $1.4 million of other assets that are available to finance the water operations. In the sewer operations, you had a net loss for the year of $212,000. That loss is very similar to the prior year, and it really represents the fact that not all of your depreciation is funded in your annual sewer rates. For the sewer utility, your capital assets are $44.2 million with other assets available for operations of the sewer of $2 million. The next page is a very brief summary of two other funds within the city's reporting structure. The first of those is your employee benefits and insurance fund. This accounts for the health insurance program of the city on a self-insured basis. There you'll see that revenues exceeded the cost of insurance for the year by $625,000. You have $2.8 million that's restricted for that health program, and that's really to cushion any catastrophic type losses that you may have on a cyclical basis within that fund. The final fund that you see there is your OPEB Trust Fund. OPEB is your other post-employment benefits. These are benefits provided to employees after retirement from the city. And you'll see there that you have accumulated $2.4 million in that trust fund. These are assets that you have taken action to set aside in a separate fund that is restricted only to that purpose. Those funds can only be withdrawn from the trust for health insurance costs. I think equally important to the accumulation of those funds is comparing it to the unfunded liability that you have. That unfunded liability is about $4.8 million. That means you're about 51% funded in that liability. And in comparison to some of the other governmental organizations that we audit, you're in very strong position there with having taken positive action to create the trust and fund those benefits. And particularly to be 51% funded. That's a summary of all of the financial information that's in that comprehensive annual financial report. In addition to that report, typically auditors issue two other documents. One of them is called an audit communication letter. And that letter talks about a number of standard communications between the auditors and the Common Council. One of them is the auditor's responsibility under auditing standards. I mentioned in the discussion of the components of the financial statement that it's really the representation of management. Management is responsible for establishing the system of internal controls and preparing the financial information. Our job as auditors is to assess the risks within that system of internal control, test the systems, and then express an opinion on the financial statement. So as I mentioned, that opinion is a clean opinion for 2011. The letter also talks about accounting policies and disclosures. Your accounting policies are all disclosed in Note 1 to the financial statements. It's a very long, detailed disclosure that talks about all of the different accounting policies that apply to your financial statements. One of the things that we're required to talk to the council about is whether there were any audit adjustments or past adjustments during the year, during the audit process. There were no adjustments to your books and records as a result of the audit process, and no past adjustments. That really is an indication that your books and records are maintained in very good order, that the information is of very high integrity, and it's really reliable. The information that you see throughout the year is very highly reliable and highly integrity. The letter also talks about a couple of other matters, and those are really disclosures that there were no difficulties in the audit process and no disagreements with management. Oftentimes, auditors issue another letter that's commonly referred to as an internal control or a management letter that identifies any recommendations for improvement in your systems of internal control. We did not issue a management letter this year. As we assessed your systems of control, we think that you have good controls in place, good assessment of the risks of the city, and good execution on those controls. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay. For the general public that doesn't understand any of this, because I've sat out there myself, mm-hmm. So how are we doing?
You're doing very good. Your financial statements are, you're in a very strong financial position, particularly having the funds set aside for the OPEB liability, and your general fund is in very strong financial position.
My understanding is we have borrowing power up to, what is our borrowing power?
About $183 million.
$183 million, and we've committed how much?
$32 million.
So how do we stand in comparison to other communities with that?
Given the amount of development within the city, you stand at a very low rate of borrowing. I think it's important to note that part of that borrowing will be repaid by the loan receivable. So if you take that into consideration, that would really even lessen the amount that you've borrowed for city purposes.
And for Moody's, how do we stand on that for the community?
AA1 is your rating.
And is that one step down from the top? Or?
Yes.
So that's pretty good, too?
It's very good.
All right, thank you. Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If you would like, please offer me an opinion on our funding status for OPEB as opposed to competitive communities. How are we doing?
I think you're doing great. Many communities have opted to not fund that liability at all, but to stay on what's called a pay-as-you-go basis. That is, to pay the claims as they come due. You've really taken sort of proactive action to set those funds aside so that as those claims come due, you have the money set aside to pay them.
Just on that note, because Mr. Patterson had to beat me up quite a bit when I was chairman of the Finance Committee to establish that, and he knows it. And because I'm going, okay, we're putting money aside that other municipalities aren't, and we could use those funds hypothetically for our general fund, which would reduce the tax levy. But there could come a day where these unfunded liabilities are called in.
Absolutely.
And then we would have to go back to the taxpayers and say, instead of maybe a 1% or 2% increase, sorry, this year we need a 20% increase in the tax levy or even more than that. Mm-hmm. So It's the old adage that you want to make sure that whatever you've committed to, that you have money in the bank to pay for it. All of us do that on a daily basis. I guess I would like to thank Alderman Solomon for his leadership on the Finance Committee for making this another glowing report for the auditors. It's not every day that the community gets this type of report. So, and then thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Patterson probably had something to do with this, too. So. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Mr. Patterson.
I guess question on behalf of the council, what's next, what's upcoming as far as changing in pronouncements that we might have to be dealing with?
The Governmental Accounting Standards Board is a very active standard-setting body. They've never met a disclosure that they don't like as one of the things that is typically said. That being said, they continually reevaluate the standards that they have set, and on a five-year basis, they look at old standards once they've been in place. The GASB is currently looking at the standard for reporting of pension liabilities, and the direction that they're going with that standard currently is ultimately to require reporting the unfunded liability for pensions on the financial statements. Now, in connection with that, they're also looking at that OPEB liability, the post-employment benefit liability, and it's likely that that also will follow suit and be required to be reported on the financial statements in full. When you look at the proactive steps that you've taken to accumulate funds, when that liability comes onto your financial statements, you will have offsetting assets for it. You mentioned other communities that haven't done that. When this standard comes into play, that liability will create some deficits in some of those communities with large OPEB and pension liabilities.
Right, and if they don't have additional revenue coming in, it just compounds all of the problems. Anyone else? Alderman Olson?
Well, my immediate statement to that is our money will be real cheap. Theirs will be real expensive.
That's a good point. All right, any other questions? If not, thank you very, very much for putting up with all of us and for this glowing. Alderman Solomon.
Renee, Jay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your input. Thank you very much. Cal, congratulations again.
Yeah, thanks, Cal.
Okay, back to the order of business. So we did three, we're on four. Ordinance to amend Unified Development Ordinance text at table chapter 15, 3.0602 to add controlled environment agriculture as a type of use and to allow such use as a special use in the RC1 conservation residence district. Alderman Taylor.
Motion to approve ordinance number 2012-, adopting ordinance to amend Unified Development Ordinance text at table 15-3.0602 to add controlled environment agriculture as type of use and allow such use as special use RC1 conservation residence district, A1 agricultural district, and A2 prime agricultural district.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skowronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wellner.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
No.
Alderman Olson.
No.
Four ayes, two noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Item 5, resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use for the development of an indoor controlled environment aquatics. Alderman Taylor.
Your Honor, I have a motion to adopt resolution number 20-12, resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for the development of an indoor controlled environment aquatic pond, agricultural system business use of minor property located at 3617 West Elm Road.
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
No.
Alderman Solomon?
No.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Aye.
Four ayes, two noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item 6, resolution imposing conditions restrictions for the approval of special use for a dance, music, and acting instruction use and a daycare services use upon property located at 7221 South 76th Street.
So moved.
Move to approve.
It's been moved. Second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 7, South 27th Street Corridor, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, U.S. 241. Reconstruction project in South 27th Street Corridor, streetscape. I'll just give a kind of a brief summary of my understanding of the events that have occurred. As we all know, the Department of Transportation is at some point going to ask for answers to the financial questions for the 27th Street Corridor project, probably not that far in the future. The two steering committees, or the steering committee of that's comprised of Oak Creek and representatives of Franklin, met some time ago and went through all of the different elements, streetscaping, et cetera, that with the consultant for the project, along with the engineers, I believe, from both communities. In the room, I recall that Alderman Taylor was on there, and Alderman Mahalski from the great city of Oak Creek, and Mr. Seymour, Mr. Bennett, I believe, was there. I was in attendance, and others. I think the long story short, a consensus was reached. The two parties, which comprised of the steering committee, put their recommendations forward. I conveyed those recommendations, I believe, both to the Plan Commission and to the Common Council, the Franklin Common Council. And then there was a decision that the three committees of the Community Development Authority, the Plan Commission, and the Ford Franklin Committee should come together to review the recommendations from the steering committee. At those meetings, after considerable discussion, and input by representatives from the steering committee, Alderman Taylor and others. I believe there were 14 individuals in attendance. There were three motions that took place by all three of the committees, and there was unanimous consensus by all three of those committees to, in essence, embrace the recommendations from the members of the steering committee represented by both Oak Creek and the city of Franklin, and to recommend those proposals to this common council. With that, there was also motions relative to the burying of cables and wires along with that, and there was a recommendation that the city of Franklin should accept the proposal from the city of Oak Creek regarding their offer to pay for 10% of the cost for the burying of those cables, 10% because the cables reside on the west side of South 27th Street and are totally within the boundaries of the city of Franklin. The other motions regarding financial matters had to do with funds of around approximately $1.4 million, with the city of Oak Creek saying that they would be willing to pay for 50% of the costs for those streetscape elements, etc., and that they would suggest that the city of Franklin pay for the other 50%. So, in essence, that's what you have before you tonight. Mr. Patterson was kind enough to put together a spreadsheet. He went through this quite quickly with me. I think he's available to discuss this in great depth. 27th Street cost allocations, and I think probably the thing that would be of most interest to both the council members and the members of the public is the cost that would be attributable to TIF costs versus taxpayer levy. And it's quite a difference in whether the people of Franklin would have to pay the cost versus the properties within the TIF district paying the cost. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Patterson, but in column number 3, titled Franklin, at the bottom, it said possible city funding of $2.949, 247. versus the College to Rawson of $346,000 and the Rawson to Drexel of $2,256,493. My understanding is if the taxpayers of Franklin front the full cost, to them that would be $2.9 million.
That is correct.
But if the funds come from the TIF district, the amount is?
The $346,000.
So a reduction of some, almost $2.6 million.
Now, it would have to go to the Joint Review Board to get to that point. So we'd have to be able to convince the Joint Review Board that it's in everyone's best interest for that to be a valid TIF expense.
Okay, I'll turn it over to Alderman Taylor. He has his hand up for quite a while.
Well, I was just going to just quickly say that there was the meeting in December, which you mentioned, but then we did have that meeting in March. I'm not sure if you mentioned that one in your going over.
I don't think I did.
And that was with the new mayor, Scafidi, was there. Right. We had the director of administration from Oak Creek, interim mayor Fetler was there, and that's where that 10% came down. And basically, all the players, staff on both sides of the city were at that meeting, and both felt that they could go back to their respective common councils like we have here and or in different boards and commissions and be able to have a deal that you could get done. I think that's kind of where we're at now.
Right, and my recollection of that meeting is that the people of Oak Creek made it very clear that you know their priorities are really Hall Avenue and the lakefront development, but
in Delphi.
But they understand that in Delphi, but they understand that they entered into this. It is an agreement. It is a partnership, and they believe that they're going to fulfill that partnership.
And they did make it very clear also that on Drexel, going from the interstate west was going to be extremely expensive. I think it was $5 or $6 million because of the environmental concern. But that would be four lanes. It would mirror ours on the opposite side, so that that's a major commitment right there to do that road. So that was a productive meeting. I just wanted to mention that.
Okay. Alderman Olson and Alderman Skransky?
No.
Alderman Solomon.
I'm familiar with the numbers that are on the spreadsheets in the packet. But I'm confused because, frankly, Cal, you're either going to have to spend some time on this or we're going to have to table this because your numbers don't tile as quickly as we had to do this with the numbers on the spreadsheet. I don't see anything for median elements.
It's in all other costs. The only reason that the sidewalk and the streetlights were broken out is because they only applied from Rawson to Drexel.
What so, I'm saying,
so if you look on the spreadsheet, you'll see the $4,031,000 for 2012 cost, and you'll see $4,364,000 if it's in 2015.
Maybe I'm flying.
Line 30 on the spreadsheet on page 96.
I got that. That's real clear to me. I'm real familiar with those numbers. The numbers on your page, the maximum number you find on your page is $3,178,000.
Which is 50% of everything except the utilities, 90% for Franklin, 10% for Oak Creek with buried utilities, which is a resolution in front of you.
I think the mayor makes a great point. I think the point, Mr. Mayor, I'll make it more succinct is that whole area needs to be TIFed, and this needs to be paid for by TIF district, plain and simple. And I've always supported that. And it's real that the CDA should get started on it. As for Cal's spreadsheet, I don't think it's fair for us to have to make any decision on anything tonight based on the spreadsheet, because I got to look at this. It's not laid out in a manner in which we can digest so quickly.
Just as the chairman of the CDA, you said that the CDA should get going on this, the TIF district for the business part clearly is under the CDA.
That's correct. And for years I've been telling you that TIF 3 ought to be under the jurisdiction of the CDA, as is TIF 4, and then the areas in between, which will need this funding, need to be put under the CDA as well. And it needs to get going. Otherwise, how are we going to...
Well, actually, Alderman Olson, that's what I've been advocating for some time.
So. And you and I have been in total agreement on that all along. And I think this council has been in agreement on that as well. So,
yeah, I just want to...
Hold on.
Well...
We've had this conversation 100 times. And every time, I mean, even back to Alderman Soames' day, we've all been in violent agreement. Yes, it ought to be under the CDA. Let's go. And nothing happens.
I'm sorry, but I have just the opposite view is that everybody has not been in violent agreement. I've been advocating for that some time. The only point, I'm not trying to be argumentative, it's just that...
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
The only thing I was trying to point out is that currently this is not under the jurisdiction of the CDA. That's all I'm saying. Alderman Solomon.
2 months ago, I asked staff to come forward with a proposal for a TIF district for all of 27th Street. And now I see this. I'm not going to support this. If you think my constituents want to spend $3,178,000, somebody's got their head in their sand. Now, I personally can accept, you know, some responsibility for the corridor. But 2 months ago, I brought this forward, a little over 2 months ago, and we're no further ahead now than we were before. I don't care if the council's in charge of the TIF district or the CDA. Let's stop the BS and form the TIF district. Who cares who's in charge of it?
Alderman, I was just looking at you. Was there a motion to that effect that passed?
Yes, it did. I referred it to staff to come up with a TIF district for the 27th Street corridor.
Second.
Well, I'm looking at the city attorney, and he's got a...
I just made the motion. I just seconded and referred to staff.
Well, now...
Okay. I did it 2 months ago.
Do it again. Second. Motion on the floor, Mr. Mayor.
Order. Well, there's a motion on the floor.
Or for under discussion, then.
Yes, but let me just clarify the motion. The motion is...
Form a TIF district for the 27th Street corridor. I don't care if you call it TIF District AA3 or whatever, but form a TIF district for the whole corridor so we can pay for the street improvements.
So you want the Common Council to form a TIF district to pay for the improvements of 27th Street?
Correct.
And that's what you're seconded?
You're trying to be clear, I understand. CDA will be responsible for it, but the Common Council has to move it forward.
Right.
Correct.
Council has to direct the CDA.
Correct. And that's what the motion is.
And that has not occurred. I don't know if it was Alderman Taylor or Alderman...
No, Alderman Taylor.
Alderman Taylor? Alderman Scott.
Well, here's the thing. I do recall, and I was waiting for Alderman Solomon to say something else I was going to, because I do recall the discussion on creating it a couple months ago. I don't remember if you said you were going to bring in something back.
I requested staff to come forward with the...
Well, I think we got to look at the minutes, though, because I don't... I mean, otherwise, if that's the case...
Play the tape.
Right. Well, we can look at the minutes, because we'd have... But the point is that motion may be there, but here's the thing. What we have in front of us, obviously, we have to go to board, the council, right? We have to go to the TIP, the Joint Review Board. But what we have in front of us is... The way I read it, the last two columns, if we agree with what we have in front of us, you have $2.2 million potentially could be in the TIF, and another $350,000 that would be in the general...
No, I'm just looking at the city attorney.
Property tax, relative to general levy. Am I correct on that?
$346,000. For the north half mile from college down,
right.
It's not eligible for the TIF as it's stated.
Right.
If the current TIF was amended, and the Joint Review Board agreed with that, that whole $2.6 million could be in the TIF district.
So my question is, how long does it take to create a TIF?
2 or 3 months.
Can we wait that long to make a decision?
But I have to, because you're going to get my vote.
DOT is not going to turn a spade for 2 years.
Alderman Taylor, you have the floor.
Well, I'll ask the question. I mean, what time frame do we have to make a decision? I mean, I think
well,
we do.
if I can.
Yeah.
You and I were both in the meetings.
Yeah.
The representatives from the city of Oak Creek made a recommendation that they would be willing, at least at this time, to pay for 50% of the cost for the elements of the streetscape for 27th Street from College Avenue to Drexel, and that they would be willing to pay at least this time for the 10% of the cost for the bearing of the cables. They are asking the city of Franklin, Common Council, to say, do you or do you not agree with that? You've had the CDA, the Plan Commission, the Ford Franklin Committee members unanimously make a recommendation to you to approve that and to enter into that agreement. You've had the two representatives that comprise the steering committees for 27th Street recommend that, and it is now in front of you. And I've been saying that there was going to come a date where all of this was going to come in front of you. Today's the day.
Thank you, Andrew. Well, here's the thing. I mean, do we like what's in front of us? Yes or no? That's what we need to agree upon.
Yeah.
How we pay for it, we can determine that in a couple months. I would say let's make the commitment to doing this, and then let's create the TIFs. If we're all in violent agreement, then we have the votes to create the TIFs. Let's do it, but let's at least say, yes, this is what we want to do. Otherwise, it seems like this has been going on. Well, this has been going on since I've been here. So for 4 years, we've been talking about this. And now we finally, since about maybe June or July of last year, we started getting back to it. And we've got Oak Creek at the table on a couple of occasions. I think if we agree, like what's in front of you, then we vote for it. And we will pay for it. We'll create a TIF. I think if we all agree this right now, then let's why put it off? That doesn't make any sense.
Alderman Wilhelm was next, and then Alderman Solomon and Mr. Roberto.
Well, I'm wondering if it would be more appropriate to make a motion to approve this contingent on the TIF district rather than the motion that's in front of us. Because that way it sends the message to Oak Creek that we're committed to that. Otherwise, we don't have anything to go back to.
Alderman, can I just make a suggestion? And that's that you do have the ability of separating the two issues, the streetscape and the bearing of the cable. I guess I would prefer that the council vote on that so that we can start moving on it. And I think your suggestion is an excellent one. Alderman Solomon?
If you want to go back to that joint meeting between the Planning Commission, the CDA, and the Franklin Forward Committee, I was sitting right over there. And I said, you all got your head up your ass because you got the cart before the horse. And that was 6 months ago. And now you're telling me that nobody's working on a TIF district. I'm not going to support this.
That was the last
2 weeks. Without,
2 weeks ago.
And we do not have control of the review board. So there's no way I'm supporting this without a contingency like Alderman Wilhelm said, without the TIF district.
I decided to support it.
I'm going to withdraw my second offer.
All right. Second's been withdrawn. Who's you were making the motion? I believe, is the motion still the property of the body, city attorney? Okay, so the motion's still out there unless all the Taylors want to withdraw.
I didn't think I made a motion.
No, he made
a motion. Okay.
I just asked if you had made the motion.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to what, how should probably word it? I went with the contingency.
Do you want the city?
Sure, city attorney.
Alderman Olson was at the floor. He was ready to make the motion when the question came.
Alderman Olson.
As outlined on the spreadsheet dated 3/9/18 of 2009, with the contingency that no expenditure be made until in such time that a TIF district is created for the area Drexel Avenue north to Rawson Avenue, and considerations and plans are being put in place for continuing TIF district, Drexel Avenue South.
Is that also, under the motion, is that also?
I don't know. My motion is very.
Alderman, can I ask you, but does that also include recommending the CDA take jurisdiction?
That would be a part of the motion.
Is that a second?
Yeah. All right. But let me be clear. The reason I said that I said Drexel North to my intention is College Avenue. Okay. I may have misspoke. So it's Drexel Avenue to College, and then Drexel South to County. Because those are the two phases that the DOT is doing.
Could you read back the motion, Member?
Could be three of
I have one element where I missed it, but Alderman Olson moved to approve the elements as outlined in the spreadsheet of 319.09 with the contingency that no expenditures be made until such time
as a TIF is approved, College to Drexel.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
And plans are being, plans are in place for continuing TIF from Drexel South to County Line, and further that the CDA take jurisdiction.
Correct.
And that was second?
Yes, correct.
Okay. You're in agreement, Alderman Taylor? The answer is yes. And just so I'm clear, we're talking about which spreadsheet, Alderman, given the amount of money we're talking about and the seriousness of the issue, what is which page are we talking about regarding the spreadsheet?
Page number, Mr. Mayor. It's the 20, the heading on is 27th Street Hole Estimates. 12/28/11 preliminary cost estimate from Phase One College of Drexel.
Okay, Mr. Patterson, are you?
I think I misspoke on that one.
Okay, and I know how these things get lost in translation, so I want to be very clear. I'd like to have one body, and I'd like the full attention of the body here. All right, this is page what of the council package, Mr. Patterson?
96. They're not on there.
Because they're colored copies.
Olson, would you be kind enough to give Mr. Patterson the copy of the spreadsheet that you're speaking about for the public record?
For the record, yes, absolutely. For the record, it's the combined cost for the cities is $4,031,991. The grand total cost per city plus the burial of the cable. Let me make sure of that. Plus the burial of the cable. Does it? Yeah, there it is. Okay. It is $1,790,995.
Okay, let the record reflect that Alderman Olson is getting up and giving that spreadsheet to Mr. Patterson. I would like to say that I learned something having been up here with all of the, you know, 2 years later. That's not the spreadsheet we were talking about. Stuff.
As you see, it's not late.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded under discussion. Mr. City Attorney.
Just with regard to that particular spreadsheet, is the accounting for the undergrounding of utilities on a 90%, 10% split?
Alderman Olson?
I don't believe on that spreadsheet it is.
50-50?
That's why you have this here, because the resolution that was in front of you, it wasn't clear.
Could you speak into the microphone, please? And you're saying that what's on the spreadsheet that Alderman Olson gave you is a 50-50 split on the cost for burying the cable?
For everything. The 50-50 for all the other aspects, 50-50 for the burying the cable.
Okay. So that would be counter to the offer made by the City of Oak Creek.
And the resolution that was in the packet.
Okay. Alderman Olson?
My motion, I understand it, and it's clear as mud. But my motion used that particular spreadsheet because it's common between the communities. owners, there would be no discussion as to what this colony would become. I full well now understand that it does not reflect 9 to 10. We can deal with that internally. That's just cost basis from which we start our discussions. It doesn't come into the dollars.
The contract with the pre-K.
Yeah, it's, it all happens later in the details.
Okay, so it's fluid.
Absolutely. Okay.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Because that also reflects today's dollars as opposed to, actually it reflects 2011 dollars.
I think I'd like the maker of the motion to add that that's noted, note that the it does not reflect the 10% or the percentage split. Just add that to the end of the motion, and then there's
I'll
no question.
That. Okay, the second.
I'll accept it.
All right, motion on the table has been seconded. Mr. Liberta?
You may want to consider the motion for creating retail. As a staff and your opinion review it, you may find it easier to work it within the existing DIF by going to the review it, but the motion gives the ability to solve the TIF by going either direction.
My intention was not to specifically require it.
Well, and if the motion passes, my understanding of your motion is that the CDA would take jurisdiction and manage what needs to be managed.
Correct.
Change 3 and 4 to include the whole corridor, that's fine.
All right. Does everybody understand the motion? Would you like the clerk to read it back, given, again, the seriousness of the motion? Clerk, could you please read back the motion?
Alderman Olson moved to approve the elements as outlined in the spreadsheet of 12-28-2011 on page 96 in the council packet of May 1, 2012, with the contingency that no expenditures occur until such time as the TIF is approved for West College Avenue to West Drexel Avenue, and plans are in place for continuing the TIF from West Drexel Avenue south to South West County Line Road. West South County Line Road. And further, that the CDA take jurisdiction, noting that this motion does not reflect the 10% share by the creek.
Okay, that's the second is in agreement?
Yes, correct.
All right. Any further discussion, Mr. City Attorney?
I'm understanding the motion to state that approval is given to the list of elements, that no payment will occur until the entirety of the 27th Street corridor on the Franklin side is incorporated into tax incremental district. But it is silent, even though the spreadsheet breaks down all costs 50-50. The motion says nothing about the common council position on sharing of costs with Oak Creek, which I understood to be the primary purpose of this subject matter here. And since if the intent was or understanding was that the spreadsheet shared the cost 50-50, perhaps within the motion, after referring to the elements, you add and approves the recommended cost sharing of 50-50 upon all of the elements except for undergrounding utilities within the city of Franklin, which cost share shall be 90% Franklin, 10% Oak Creek.
Alderman Olson?
I'm fine with that if Sandy's got it. You captured the essence of my intention, absolutely.
Okay. And second
yes.
to the motion?
Correct.
Alderman Taylor?
Yes.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all is favored, please signify by saying aye.
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 Roll call. Those roll call. Opposed, there's a request for a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman.
What's his name?
It says shirt.
Aye.
Solomon. Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carried. Wow. That was a wow. Okay. It's pretty hard to top that one. Authorization to proceed with the reconstruction of South 51st Street between the point 1,075 feet north of West Rawson Avenue to the north city limits, including a trail on the west side of Princeton Avenue. Alderman Wilhelm.
Motion to authorize staff to proceed with the reconstruction of 51st Street from point 1,075 feet north of West Rawson Avenue to the north city limits. The trail on the west side from the existing sidewalk to West Princeton Drive, and the sidewalk on the east side from the existing sidewalk to West Xavier Drive, and authorize the advertisement for bids.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. The resolution awarding contract to lowest bidder. The motion to approve. There's a second. Any further discussion on item 9? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 10, a designation of official newspaper.
So moved. Franklin now.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion passes. Item 12, concept review for 11. Summer meeting scheduled 2012.
I'm still on 7.
Okay. Motion to adjourn. Madam Clerk.
Council wishes to make any adjustments to the summer schedule. This would be a good time, as if we start planning public hearings and other things.
You going on a trip, Jack?
Yeah, I think so.
And we do have two holidays in there that could impact the council schedule if it is normal, as the first and third Tuesday of each month. So it's whatever the council wishes.
Any comments?
So what are the exact dates in the 4 months?
Madam Clerk?
First of all, there are 5 Tuesdays in July, so there's going to be an extra week in there where we would normally have off. But Committee of the Whole, if we're going to not make any changes, Committee of the Whole is June 4th, and Common Council would be the 5th and the 19th.
Okay.
July, Committee of the Whole would be the 2nd. Council is the 3rd. And July 4th is the 4th.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I suggest go back to number 7 again.
And then the 17th of July. So the 3rd and the 17th would be normal council meetings. Then there would be two Tuesdays. So there would be 2 weeks in between a council meeting instead of 1 week if we did not adjust the
schedule. Suggest to change that.
9, 10,
and
24.
The 9th and 10th for the first two meetings and the 24th for the third.
Yep.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, Madam Clerk?
Stay away from that 4th of July.
Yep. Oh, Ms. City Attorney.
Only that I have a potential conflict on Monday, July 9th.
Do we need the 9th?
We don't. We always combine it. The mayor could just combine it. Those are the dates, but.
Let's combine them.
I would agree.
Okay.
Madam Clerk.
And then the August would be the 6th is the Committee of the Whole, with the 7th and 21st as council meetings. September 3rd is a Monday.
Do you want to combine the 6th of August?
Go to the 10th.
No, except all August. You just do 7 and 21?
Just be careful. You assumed a lot with the budget. Into August and September last night.
So 7 and 21 in August?
Hey, Madam Clerk.
Did we make any change to the 6th? No. 6th remains as Committee of the Whole?
Yeah, so.
Or combine. I'd combine.
Combine. Can always, if we need to have something,
combine.
We need to have a meeting. It's not a problem calling.
Right.
Okay.
And then September 3rd is Labor Day, which is a Monday, so the council meeting is the 4th and the 18th.
Unless you
change
That's fine.
By the 4th, okay.
And the 18th.
And 18th. All right. Works.
All right. You want to read that back? No.
Okay. Are we on number 7 yet?
The what?
Number 7. There would be a motion to establish the amended meeting schedule for 2012. Committee of the Whole on June 4th, Common Council on the 5th and 19th. July 10th would be the combined Committee of the Whole and Common Council meeting. July 24th would be the council meeting. August 7th would be a combined Committee of the Whole and Council.
What did you say for the 7th? July what?
July 10th.
And that's it?
And 24th.
And 24th, okay. Alderman Wilhelm?
What about the recall election on June 5th, which is the same day as the council?
Yeah. Think it's going to be that big a deal?
You set yourself up for that, Kristen.
It will be.
Yeah.
I think in the past, whenever there's been an election that somebody local would be on, that's when the meetings have changed. You know, don't have to change it on my account.
What if we just did the 4th and combined the council and the people on just the Monday the 4th?
That's all right.
And then that would
sure. I'm okay with that.
Me too.
You're likely to have a couple, at least one lengthy issue that would be a closed session.
Let's do that. 4th.
Okay. I'm okay with it. Everybody else?
4th and 5th.
Great idea.
On the 4th.
Yep.
So we just have the 4th. Okay, now we're into August.
Okay, so June is the 4th and the 19th. July is the 10th and 24th. August is the 7th and 21st. And September is the 4th and the 18th.
18th. Okay.
Just going to warn you, you're probably going to need a special meeting in September. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want a motion? Is there a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Madam Clerk.
And I just, as long as we have a calendar here, and you did bring up elections, August 14th is also another election.
Okay. All right, now we turn to item 12, Committee of the Whole Recommendations, concept review for Meyer Store. Of a mayor, Meyer. No action, I believe, was necessary for tonight. What I think I asked the council for was there large objections? I thought there were a lot of things that were shared with the applicant, 24-hour status, access to Putes Road. Many suggestions by Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Skronsky and others, and that I believe that the applicant took away from that meeting what they needed to take away from the meeting, and then they would take a look at the suggestions of the council members and then get back to us. Alderman Olson? Well, except for the 14 or 24 motion suggestions
deal
right off the bat.
Deal breaker.
Yeah. And the deal, two deal breakers and a couple of others. So no action is necessary on item A. Am I correct? Okay. And B, C, concept review for revisions to Forest View residential developments. I thought that the developer took away from that what he needed to, or they needed to take away, and that the purpose of the concept review was well purposed.
Mm-hmm.
So no action is required on that as well.
More brick.
Let's see. Item C, Alderman Solomon, I'll let you explain what you think was the feeling.
The consensus of the Common Council, and tell me if I'm wrong, was to leave the Finance Committee in place except for its budget. That proceeds to the common council. And that's why I stated earlier when we were looking at schedules that September gets quite busy, August and September. So we may have to have a short meeting, one of the, with just that on the agenda, to move the process forward. I will work with staff to come up with a timeline for the council and to make it as simple as possible, but it's going to require some extra work.
Any objection to what Alderman Solomon said regarding consensus last night? Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I would like to make an additional suggestion. Since I've been here, we get these vouchers in our packet all the time, and we don't really even do anything with them, and I thought it would be appropriate for the Finance Committee to be reviewing these and give us suggestions back, or if they see anything, because this to me is a waste of paper in my packet, because I don't know if anybody even looks at these things.
The Finance Committee wouldn't do that in a timely manner. Those bills need to be paid.
Yeah.
Well, they can be paid, but there's no reason why they can't look at the one after it's filed.
I think we have to do this also, don't we?
Well, why do we even get these?
Well, we get the two.
Yeah, I look at them, but we never discuss them. We never question them. We never. It just seems like it would be a. At least the Finance Committee could give us some input to them.
I think I remember Alderman Taylor bringing up a similar issue as to why do we need this, and I thought the city attorney opined on that previous action.
We had this discussion already.
I don't exactly remember what the city attorney
said.
Yeah,
I don't. I think we have to do it, if I recall.
Right.
And we have to do a roll call vote.
Right.
So we've already been here, done that.
That wasn't my point.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm, you have the floor.
That wasn't my point. My point was I think these should get more attention. They're in the back of the packet. Everybody's ready to go home. And there's never any discussion about them. It's like,
okay. Alderman Olson and Alderman Skransky.
A little history, folks. First of all, the last discussion we had on this was when I brought up an item on this and got summarily dismissed and chastised for discussing it at the council level.
Right. Don't question.
And not prior to that with the staff members. So we have to decide which way we want it. Pick away, but decide which way. You get a brown one and a blue one. One sorted by account, one sorted by department. I'm not sure we need that, but that came from ages-old common councils where two didn't really make four. So we can reduce this by one set of pieces of paper. Somebody smarter than me can determine which way is better. I don't really care. We only need one set.
Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, I agree. I look at them. I cruise through them. If I have a question, I'll go to the department and ask them. One is sufficient. You don't need two.
All right. No further action. Item.
So if I run by account, it would be my preference.
Mm-hmm. Do you want a motion on that, Alderman Salva?
Yeah.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Actually, that is the one useful thing I find about these. If I can't find one by a department, I can find it by name. So maybe printing them back to back would be a way to do it, and it'd be the same amount of paper, but you'd still get it. But I'm not saying that I don't look at these. I do. I'm just wondering why we never discuss any of them. There can't be that many things on every single month that there's never a question. That to me, that's just odd.
I would just point out for. Recognize Alderman Taylor, and that's that.
I'll make a motion, make them back.
This discussion actually did not occur last night, and we did notice, we did have discussion in the committee of whole that the discussion regarding the vouchers and all that. I'm not saying that's inappropriate, but it's kind of a topic we discussed last night.
Well, if I could, I did chastise Alderman Olson, Your Honor, regarding his issue about shiny things on the back of the fire truck that we approved and we discussed, and I was saying, why didn't you talk to the department? And that's why I chastise them. This is, and I think I said at the time, and I'll say it again, this is micromanagement 101. If you want to look at them, fine. Look at them. Talk to the departments. Why do we have to have a big debate on, 20 pages in the back of the packet? If you have a specific question 10 item, talk to the department.
Right.
Simple as that. I brief through them, but it's why, again, are we having this conversation, really? If you have a problem with it, then I would, Alderman Wilhelm, then talk to the department on that issue. Otherwise, I think we're all looking at them. Alderman Olson says he does. Alderman Skronsky says he does. You do. I'll breeze through them. You know, we have way bigger problems to deal with than what's on that in the back of the packet.
Alderman Wilhelm?
The reason why I brought it up, why your question was why are we talking about this again? Because we were talking about the role of the Finance Committee, and that was my suggestion that the role of the Finance Committee, which was rejected by this council, which is fine, I can accept that, but that is the reason why I brought it up.
All right. Anything else on that? Item D, recommended changes to municipal codes pertains to automatic appointments to boards and commissions. I'll read you what I think happened. You can tell me if I'm wrong. There will be no election for common council president under, as the city attorney wisely informed the mayor, that the state law said that you'd have to have a charter ordinance change to do so. So no election would take place there. No additional duties or responsibilities for common council president would be assigned, such as instead of the mayor making the aldermanic appointments, the common council president would make it. So my understanding is that the mayor would continue to make aldermanic appointments, just like those that are going to be in front of you with item G. Am I wrong? Keep the finance and personnel committees together. I'm sorry. Yes, keep them separate and not together, so not to taking the suggestion of the mayor to combine the finance and personnel committees. So the mayor will move forward with the regular customary practice of recommending appointments to both personnel and finance committee, as I have done in the past. There was a desire and I think agreement on my part that Alderman Olson said two, check with the alderman and check with the chair of the committee on appointments. So I will either call on that or to notify somehow in writing. I will try my best to do that. I think that's a very good suggestion. So, we will talk about and try and get people that are qualified to be able to take on the duties and responsibilities assigned to finance committee, personnel committee, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Got mayor to continue doing aldermanic appointments and not common council president. I said that. All of the existing terms of the aldermanic appointments, such as for library board, board of public works, personnel committee, all those aldermanic appointments that are in place would stay in place, and we would not have a one-year term for each of them. So in essence, status quo on all of the appointments for the aldermen. I correct? Okay. And let's see, mayor and department heads may recommend a budget to the council instead of the finance committee if there is a finding after you work with staff that that's a good process to carve out the functions for the annual budget from the finance committee and move it to the common council. Is that correct? And I would take it that everything else is status quo and moves forward. Okay. Alderman Wilhelm.
What was the issue on the the terms when someone serves on multiple terms in the same committee or commission?
I didn't know that there was any. No change.
Was
other than that the mayor should take that into consideration when he's going to be making their...
Because the way the they sit right now, that's not taken into consideration. So.
Right. And, okay, that's my understanding of what I put forward. Is there anything else by the staff or anything? If not, before I go to item G1, Alderman Wilhelm said last night that you are not interested in serving on the Finance Committee?
That's correct, and the reason is because you've appointed me to several other committees, and that would make my fifth one. And I also we had the grant writing committee, which I seem to be on as well, which doesn't officially exist, but does. So,
all right,
yeah, make six.
If permissible, City Attorney, I'm going to withdraw my recommendation of having Alderman Wilhelm sit on the finance committee. Is that permissible?
I don't know that it's a recommendation. It's an appointment. I'm not aware of any reason the mayor is unable to withdraw an appointment prior to council moving on it.
Correct. Okay. With that, I'm going to move to the aldermanic appointments, and then I'm going to go back to Mr. O'Brien real quickly. I'm recommending Alderman Schmidt to the Environmental Commission.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Selman.
Aye.
Alderman Wilson.
Aye. Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Taylor to the Finance Committee.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Selman.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skaransky.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Solomon to the Finance Committee.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm. Aye. Alderman Selman.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Wilhelm to the License Committee.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Selman.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Skaransky. Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Taylor to the Licensing Committee.
So moved.
Motion to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. And I would, before we go any further, I would say that I once again, think the licensing committee has done just an absolutely excellent job. So, Madam Clerk, all those in favor, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Do I have Alderman Solomon licensing committee? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, Alderman Solomon of licensing committee. Is there a motion approved?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skaransky.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Solomon to the Parks Committee. Alderman Wilhelm.
I just have a question on how many terms that is for Alderman Solomon on the Parks Commission.
Alderman Solomon? Beyond 40?
No, it's not. It's probably 7, somewhere in there.
Years?
Yeah, close 7 years.
Okay.
I wasn't on there. Yeah,
I guess that was my point. So because we didn't fix the situation about the possible alternating and we're going to have the same thing happen, I would support that, although I think it does a good job.
I think it does an excellent job.
Motion approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Done, moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I'm going to abstain.
Alderman Selman.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, one abstention. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Skaransky, Plan Commission.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
No.
Alderman Solomon?
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm?
No.
Alderman Taylor?
I abstain.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skaransky?
Aye.
Three ayes, two noes, one abstention. My understanding is that ordinances require four affirmative votes for an appointment. The mayor can only vote in the case of a tie, which there is not because of the abstention. Therefore, the appointment does not move forward. Is there a motion to adjourn? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. O'Reilly. Two nights in a row. Dressed as a Milwaukee Brewer, and I think, you know, Mr. Daniel O'Brien to the Board of Zoning and Building Appeals. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? Is there a second to the motion? Seeing none, the motion fails for lack of a second. Is there a motion to, oh, I'm sorry, licensing? So, Mr. O'Brien, just so you understand, because there was no second to the motion fails. Item, yes, Alderman Olson.
I just, help me understand what the attraction is to the Board of Zoning and Building Appeals. We've got a lot of applicants to that particular board lately, and for the life of me, I've never seen that before, and I've sat in this chair or with that chair for a long, long time. So what's going on? What's the politics on that board? I'd really like to know.
Item H. Well, no, I don't know the. I don't. You know, you're. I think you're asking everyone. They're not asking.
Okay, everybody.
I don't know anything about that.
I don't. I believe in the past Michigan, it was very difficult. So I really don't. Other than we advertised, and we said that we were having trouble, and all of a sudden we got lots of people that wanted to apply. So, Madam Clerk.
I was just going to add that there was a prior member who was transferred to a job out of state who just left, and there was another member who I believe also moved out of the state who had a job. And correct. So there were vacancies, and we did put a note in the newsletter kind of highlighting that particular board and commission. So that may be my. I just wanted to add that.
Alderman Taylor? Alderman Taylor?
Now, am I correct that on that board you do have alternates? Would have the alternates been bumped up to be like regular members, like they were on the bench? Have they have been bumped up?
We had, who's the union member?
John English.
Yeah, John English, yeah. And then.
And Norm, and then.
Yeah, and then we had, I was going to say we had a deaf.
Yeah.
Well, Tony's the chair. He, just like the other boards and commissions, they select their chair. Yes?
I'd like to ask what Alderman Taylor just brought up. Isn't there a standby group?
Alternates.
Alternates?
So the question was, have they all been bumped up to be the permanent members, and then we now are filled with alternates? Is that
rather?
Yeah, and I think Don Adams also was... alternates, mm-hmm. And very good. I mean, they're all Bob Nacker.
So do we have alternates appointed at the present time?
I believe you do. Yeah. I wasn't prepared to, I mean, if I looked at it, I would be able to tell you. Actually, all the boards and commissions are under the council.
I mean, that's where you put somebody to start with. You know, like the minors. Move them up.
I'd be willing to take any suggestions you'd like to offer on the Board of Zoning and Building Appeals. But we are on appointments,
yep.
And well, actually, we're on licenses. And another discussion for committee of whole. Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, I had a question. On the Board of Appeals, I believe that is a requirement if the city attorney would like to weigh in on this legally, because if a person comes in who was denied somewhere, the petitioners have the right to appeal a decision to that group, and a finding has to be made. Am I correct? City attorney?
City attorney.
Yes, but if the essence of the question is there a quorum on the Board of Appeals, I haven't had anybody say that there are insufficient members for the board to conduct business.
No, I guess I'm answering Alderman Olson's, what's the essence or what's the politics of the board and everything else? It's really a required board.
My answer to that would be there are no politics involved.
Yeah, my answer would be a total conjecture, and it would be just an opinion that has no standing. It's have no point. I think it's probably very decent human beings on there. I'm not aware of. Item H.
Singh, approve. Kulinski, approve. Peters, approve. Danforth, approve. Wheelhouse Events LLC. It's the women's obstacle run. Approved pending payment of police request for one officer. If wine is going to be required and served outside, they will need another license. Ragnar Relay to Madison, approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
And move second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have. Motion carries. Aye. Vouchers of payroll approval. You have before you vouchers listing numbers 142568 through 142746. I see. I'm trying to see if I can get a motion and go to the discussion.
Sure.
It's been moved and seconded under discussion. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I'm just confused because it says here that we voted on these vouchers for RCI previously, but the voucher numbers are the same. So they're in here or they're not in here?
They're in the
vouchers. Alderman, can we have one? Can we have one meeting here?
They were approved separately at the last meeting.
But there's some of those items on these.
There's four vouchers that were listed on the voucher approval sheet last time, mm-hmm. separately, and it indicated that they would be on this listing, but they wouldn't be here for approval because they were approved at the last time.
Okay. All right, the motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Scranton.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is it the next item on here is just the payroll of April 20th, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Sure. Second.
So moved, seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Aye. Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Motion adjourned.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We adjourn.
Aye.